Hello, everyone, and welcome to the season finale, episode 8 of Podly, the official Peacemaker companion podcast brought to you by HBO Max and DC. Guys, this is the last episode, the season finale, and it's going to be a real barn burner. We've got action. We've got fatherly hallucinations and also broken legs. So we've got no time to waste.
Yeah. And as promised, James Gunn is back for the final episode to close out strong so we can finally ask him what this whole season was all about.
All right. You're not going to want to miss this.
Yeah. So for the last time, let's get into it.
Why is there a bald eagle in your car?
It's Eagly.
Eagly is your pet eagle?
Yeah.
Is your dog named Doggy?
All right.
Do you have a daughter named Daughtery?
How's it going? I'm Ify Wadiway.
And I'm your other host, Fiona Nova.
And this is Podly, the official Peacemaker companion podcast from HBO Max and DC. And this one is it. It is the season finale. There's so much to talk about. So much went down. But before we jump into it, I have to always remind you that this is a companion podcast for episode 8, and most importantly, the finale. Mm-hmm. So if you have not watched yet, pause, go watch it and come back, because there are a lot of spoilers. And if you haven't even started yet, go all the way back, because we don't want to spoil anything for you. It all comes down to this. So
let's talk about it. We've got so many things that happened.
I mean, first off, you have Adebayo trying to make things right. You know, her whole spot was kind of blown up. She kind of feels bad about...
For sure. I don't even think she kind of feels bad. She feels bad.
Yeah.
And I think she's been feeling bad since, like, episode 1. I don't think she's gotten better.
Yeah. But now she's really feeling the consequences of losing the trust of Peacemaker and really manipulating him. Something that, you know, she even mentioned back when she manipulated Vigilante to go into the prison.
Yeah.
She doesn't like doing that. But while she's trying to apologize, she's starting to...
There it is. Yeah, that's what happens. And it's very annoying.
I know I'm the last person that you want to hear from right now, Chris, and I can't... Can't apologize enough. I really am sorry. I'm just trying to.
What are you gonna say?
This is a bit, and he will run with it, and he will not stop.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Adebayo is feeling the guilt. Peacemaker is making her feel bad, and he's going to run with it.
He's going
to keep running with it.
Adebayo calls her mom.
Yeah.
So, and her mom, and she says, call the Justice League or something.
Yeah.
And the message is relayed, but that's kind of all we hear, and we're like, okay.
Okay, so back to the story.
Yes.
We got like a helmet line.
It's kind of like that Chekhov's gun I was mentioning a few episodes ago, where you have all these different helmets. We know they do different things. So, of course, for the finale, they're going to whip them all out so we can see what most of it does.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Well, they are about to use the Sonic Boom helmet for this Sonic Boom barn plant.
But let's not forget the anti-gravity helmet.
Right, the anti-gravity that they lost.
Yeah,
it's gone.
Yeah,
there's we will not be finding that.
That sensitive.
Throughout the episodes, we never really understood how this power works. How does it activate with Peacemaker's voice? Does it activate with just like White Dragon's voice? There's no activation, but now we can see that I guess anyone can activate the helmets.
Yeah. And then we have another important moment. Mm-hmm. We've wondered if Eagly can actually understand, and the whole mission starts to ride on Eagly carrying the Sonic Boom helmet close enough, dropping it on top of the barn so they can use it.
That's right. I need you to take that helmet and drop it on top of that barn.
No.
Eagly.
No.
Take the helmet.
Take the helmet.
Eagly, take the helmet.
Eagly, take the helmet.
Good, Eagly, good. Good boy. Go to Eagly. Go to the barn. Go to the barn.
And
well, blows it.
Yeah, yep. Didn't work.
Didn't do that. So confirmed, Eagly has no idea what anyone's saying to him. He's kind of just like a dog.
You know what I mean?
He senses feelings more so than language.
So now they got to find the helmet because their whole plan kind of hinges on this.
And can never go smoothly.
Yeah. Of course. I mean, that's what makes a good plan. But that's when we see something harrowing. You know, his dad is back. His dad is kind of haunting him in his head. And it seems like even though he's killed his father on the physical plane, he still has his father inside.
Yeah.
Message.
And obviously, like, it isn't him, but it is real to Peacemaker. So,
But he did the right thing and he, like, killed him in his head.
Yeah.
You know?
And I hopefully he just keeps on doing that.
But yeah, so that happens. They find the helmet right where the needle was shot and the plan's back on. They're good to go.
Yep.
But now the new plan is Economos going undercover to be
like a security guard to drop the bag with the helmet in it.
But
underground.
But we get like a deep moment here on his way back up when he stopped. And they ask him about the dyed beard. Mm-hmm. We find out a lot about Economos. We find out that he's never had a girlfriend and that he thought that the dyeing his beard would make him more approachable and have friends. And then it gets even more heart-wrenching when you see Peacemaker hearing this.
I know.
And for the first time ever, it seems like he's learning
He's learning, period. And also that he's like understanding people's feelings. Like he can hurt other people's feelings and he needs to be more empathetic.
It almost feels like it happens because he himself had to go through that
with
Adebayo, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, he's like, feeling the pain of betrayal with that, and now he's kind of realizing that actions and things you do have consequences beyond, like, what you surface level perceive, you know?
Can we go back to that moment when he did drop the bag? He actually just dropped the bag.
Yeah.
Fuck it. No more Kaijus.
Because he noped. He saw the cow.
He saw the cow.
He noped so fast. He was like, I'm good.
Like, this is where that's
where my journey ends.
Yeah, I don't want to get close to this.
Yeah. So then there's this, after there is this massacre of butterflies because they keep using the sonic boom.
But
another thing we learn about the helmet, there's charges, it seems.
Yeah.
It needs to recharge.
Oh, yeah. And so they're just going toe-to-toe, big fight. You know, you got Harcourt and Vigilante fighting.
I mean, they're fighting. They're really doing their damnedest. They're fighting. But then they get
taken.
There
are so many
butterflies. There's so many. And they can't. Obviously, they fight as much as they can, and the fight scene was really cool. It's like a little slow motion. Mm-hmm. Like, you see the moves that everyone's making.
Oof,
it was a fight.
Yeah.
It was a fight, and Adebayo comes into the rescue.
Just right. And that was it was real cool to see Adebayo get, like, a full action piece
Absolutely.
Because she went from the person who was just like really meek and afraid to do any of this, and she's coming out dual wielding, busting it out.
You know, because at the end of the day, if she is Amanda Waller's daughter, there has to be some kind of fight in her.
Amanda
it doesn't
Waller
matter.
Amanda Waller would not have sent her if she didn't think she was capable.
Exactly.
Yeah. And then it comes down to the moment. They reunite. They find John Cena. Adebayo tries to torpedo, fails.
And
they capture Peacemaker. They go inside.
It's Sophie. So Sophie essentially is like, grabs Peacemaker, has him by the neck essentially, and is saying like, hey, we don't need to fight. Let me explain to you what we're doing here. And now we get the deep dive into what the butterflies are, what their mission was.
Yeah. So we find out that the mission wasn't necessarily an invasion.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was an invasion, but not the kind that it was perceived as, like a takeover.
Right.
They just wanted to take over leaders specifically because they saw the human race moving in the same way that their race moved that destroyed their own planet.
Mm-hmm.
So they were just going to be our gentle overlords to help us
guide us.
Yeah, to not have their fate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And this is interesting because, like, you know, they said, you know, we want world peace just like you. Mm-hmm. This whole season, that's all Peacemaker said. He said he will get peace no matter how many women, children, or men he has to kill to get it. And they have the same ethos, but
it's not enough.
It's not enough.
It's not enough for Peacemaker.
He's like, no, he goes ahead and says, torpedo, activate torpedo, and Adebayo flies into the cow. He dispatches Sophie, which now Goth is released, mm-hmm. which was interesting.
Yeah.
Because at this point, we know Peacemaker knows mm-hmm. that Goth was going to be free.
Yeah.
But he's not worried about that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He goes to help Adebayo, mm-hmm. and he kind of doesn't have to worry because their food source is dead.
Yeah.
They will eventually just wipe out.
Yeah. Peacemaker seems like he seems confident in his decision and not really caring.
Yeah.
I think we're good. And so he carries Adebayo out, and then we get this scene.
Yeah.
I mean, the Justice League.
Oh my God. Yeah.
You can't miss that. We get this scene that really is a spoiler.
Yeah. It's a major scene. You know, the Justice League interacting with Peacemaker in this universe. It's a cohesive universe. And you get Peacemaker to finally have his moment to tell the Justice League, fuck off.
Yeah. You're too late.
You're too late. I already did it.
You're too late. And I think he definitely felt good about himself doing that. Oh, yeah. Because you can always see that. I bet Peacemaker really wished he was part of that crew. I feel like he wished he was at that pedestal or at that level.
That's all he wants.
But I think he felt really good being like, hey, I fixed this.
Yeah.
You could do better.
He really is. Because remember how excited he got when someone recognized him mm-hmm. and then definitely was like, yeah, you're a whack job.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, he really kind of felt some type of way about them. And so him mm-hmm. getting to be like, you know, go out of here and tell Aquaman, go fuck some fish.
So and then we all end up in the hospital because everyone is essentially broken or dying.
So
I think this is very sentimental because Vigilante, as much of an idiot he could be, he's like beat up.
Yeah.
The guy's beat up and he was still standing.
Yeah, and he was trying so hard,
but he eventually just couldn't handle it.
Passed out.
We've got Harcourt, who's really injured. Like, I mean, she was shot, essentially. Yeah. She's really injured. Will she even make it? I mean, she does, but, like, barely.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's hurt. It took her five days. And guess who was waiting for her for those 5 days?
Peacemaker.
The guy was waiting for her, wanted to know if she was okay. And I think Harcourt, at that moment, realized, like, hey, this guy really does care for me.
Yeah.
And I think is going to open up a little more.
Yeah.
But we also do see like this road to recovery.
Yeah. Especially because it's recovery in a big way.
Mm-hmm.
Because Adebayo goes forward on the press conference and blows up Project X.
Yes.
Talks about what it is. And we get another Viola Davis cameo. Mm-hmm.
We love those cameos.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I think like, at least when I was watching it, I was like, oh gosh, this is big, because not only is it affecting, let's say, the Peacemaker show, it's affecting Suicide Squad.
Yeah, yeah. You know, that's so who knows what mm-hmm. the repercussions of that mm-hmm. motion is going to
absolutely
lead to. That's major.
It's major. So we've got essentially, without trying, I mean, we can always try to figure out like what might season two be but it seems like there's a lot of ways this can go.
Oh, 100%. Because it has that somber final scene where you see Peacemaker sitting next to the spirit of his dad mm-hmm. and Goff drinking the last up. And you can even in the pour, there wasn't that much of the nectar left.
Yeah.
And he's just staring off and eagerly kind of drops by. And it's kind of like, well, what's next?
Mm-hmm.
And we can sit here and try and ponder what's next, or we can pester the writer and director of the show, James Gunn, and shake that information out of him.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so let's go ahead and head to this interview. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We are joined again today with the beautiful, amazing James Gunn, the creator and just amazing artiste. Of the century.
I feel
like that's how you know it was a good season.
It's a good season.
Because if she was like, we're back again with James. Like, oh, this
no, I added on to the compliments. You have to keep going. Well, listen, we've got some a bunch of questions for you since it is episode 8. Great. It is the final episode and we can talk about whatever and anything.
Oh yeah.
So I want to know, like, one of the fun things about this show is that Peacemaker and the gang go from like Keystone Cops while planning their attacks to badass action heroes in the moment. Is comedy the most fun to write for you or direct?
I like writing comedy. I hate directing and editing comedy. It's the hardest of all of them. Action is the most fun for me overall because it's very much like putting a puzzle together. And it's a much more of a right brain activity in certain ways. You're not relying on the muse for it. Comedy is harder. I always have a very specific thing in my brain of how the actors are supposed to say something, how they're supposed to do it. And it's just like trying to force things, and oftentimes through editing, jerry-rigging and putting, you know, Elmer's glue and popsicles together to create what I think is funny. Peacemaker, the comedy, came easier and was more fun than anything I've done, simply because I have a very intimate relationship with three of the leads, with John Cena, with Jennifer Holland, and Steve Agee, who's been one of my best friends for 10 years. So that gave me a real center to kind of structure that together. And then getting to know Freddie and Danielle and Chuck, who's gone on to have a big role in Guardians Volume 3, is, you know, it just is a great, great team of people to create stuff that's funny. And then the dramatic stuff that comes along. And I think one of the fun things about carving the season out is letting us just push that sad element, you know, a little bit more, the element, the dramatic elements, the relationship between Harcourt and Peacemaker, the relationship between Adebayo and Peacemaker, and see where those things go in a deeper way. And in a much deeper way than I could do in a movie, because in a movie, you're so limited. But in a TV show, you know, we have 8 episodes to craft these really intimate relationships that have a lot of nuances and things to them. And that made it really fun.
It looked like it was fun. And, you know, I got to speak with Steve, and it's so funny because, you know, Steve, I know his comedy from when I was in high school, because I was in Comedy Sports High School League. Uh-huh. And then that's when I accidentally made him feel old, because I was like, you were the advisor of my
family. He doesn't need to feel. He is old. He doesn't need to feel old. He is.
Yeah, he said there was a point when he was on set and he looked around. He's like, I'm the oldest one here.
That wasn't exactly true, because I was definitely there. So,
yeah. So, like, we were talking about how, like, you know, with Stephen Economist, like, he had this like deep moment in this episode where he got to be very dramatic and serious. And to me, like, as a comedy dork myself, like, you know, it's very easy to be like the goofy guy, the comedy guy, and to finally see like a comedy guy get a moment to like show his range.
He would, you know, it was a difficult scene to craft because Steve was so good in that moment. It was, how emotional do we go? Because he's trying to hide himself from the butterflies, but he's also being honest about something for the first time. And he's backed into a corner where the only, you know, he's lied about this for 8 episodes, about having dyed his beard. And even though we can all see that it's clearly dyed, about having dyed his beard. And now he's backed into a corner, and he knows the only chance he has for survival is to be completely honest. And we get this incredibly beautiful moment that's as much about him as it is about Peacemaker, who kind of sees the repercussions of being such a dick. Like, he is a dick. Like, always been a bully, you know, and him being able to see like the repercussions of this guy who he's come to really cherish, and seeing how he's hurt his feelings, to give that character, who's kind of the comedic sidekick, that deep moment, you know, it was a lot of very gratifying. You know, so and that this episode was fun in a lot of ways to shoot because of that, and give these characters not a wrap up, because they all have a long way to go, but get those little glimpses of things where we see, you know, Harcourt's moment of tenderness at the end is one of the things that always moves me the most, because she's just been somebody who's just pushed people away 100%.
Yes.
No trust of anyone. And the moment when Peacemaker comes into the hospital room and she realizes this guy, who she thinks of as a goofball, has been waiting outside for her for 5 days to see if she lives or not. I think she experiences a kind of love that she hasn't before. And that's a beautiful moment to see. And then, of course, the friendship between Adebayo and Peacemaker, which we see come to fruition here. And we see really the story that's being told the whole season. This is about Peacemaker's ideals, about, you know, peace at any cost, no matter how many women or children. And then he's faced with this choice at the end, definitely making the right choice from a personal perspective, where he's admitting that he loves other people and his ideals are less important than those people that he loves. And for him, that's a complete change from who we saw in the movie The Suicide Squad. And it's been the thing that he's been struggling with throughout, that all of a sudden he's going, you know, he says it in, I think, the second episode two, he goes, maybe I'm just a maniac, you know, maybe I'm just crazy. Yeah. And I think he's starting to realize that, there is a part of what he does that is just, he's just a maniac. And part of what he does is what Bloodsport accuses him of doing in the beginning of The Suicide Squad, is he's using his ideals as an excuse for his own violent ways. And what his father taught, the way that his father taught him to be.
Adebayo and Peacemaker, they both have these like overbearing parents with strong ideals. So they already have that kindredness that they don't know.
That's right.
Where to be honest, Amanda Waller is not too different. She's like, look, as long as the job gets done, it doesn't matter what it takes. And
I think she's worse. I mean, you know, Amanda Waller, you know, at least in the Suicide Squad, Amanda Waller is a pretty hardcore individual. I think of Amanda Waller as the antagonist of the Suicide Squad.
Oh, yeah.
It's not Starro. It's not the generals in Corrido Maltese. It's Amanda Waller. I think Amanda Waller's ambition is a big part of what she does. His dad's the worst of all.
Like,
he's the worst character I think I've ever written. Whereas with Peacemaker, I think he's violent and he's a brute. Oh, but I don't think he's ambitious. I think he's he believes he's doing the right thing. Even though he may be fooling himself into believing that, he believes that he is.
Where it's like, he has shitty ideals and he sticks to them, but it's because he thinks he's doing what right because he dealt with a traumatic experience, and the way that he chose to deal with it was not therapy. It was sticking to these ideals to make sure he doesn't make a mistake like that again.
I think that's exactly right. I mean, I think that one of the things that happens to us, you know, when we experience childhood trauma, which all of my movies are and TV shows are about at the end of the day, is that he needs something to control what he feels. He killed his own brother by accident, 100%. But he thinks that somehow, through him making this promise, he can control life around him, which Adebayo says to him at the beginning of this episode, where she says, you know, you can't stop death from being meaningless just because you've made this vow. This episode and the change here is part of his growth as a human being, and that everybody isn't who we thought they were from the beginning of the show. And it makes it hopefully fun for discussion because of that.
Yeah. And so without giving anything away, what's next for Peacemaker and the gang?
Well, I think there's changes afoot. I mean, listen, I think that the sort of the bitter moment at the very end of the episode is very, very telling, which is he's killed his father, but his father's still there, the voice of his father that he carries around with him. And so how is Peacemaker going to deal with that? You know, how is Adebayo going to deal with the repercussions of what she did at the end of the show with Amanda Waller? I mean, she betrayed her own mother, and her mother is, you know, she'll do anything to save herself, really, you know. And so what's going to happen there? What's going to happen with, you know, Economos is back with Waller, obviously, at the end of the show. There's a sadness there. Vigilante is the one character who remains unchanged from start to finish. He's the same moron he always was. And what's going to happen between Harcourt and Peacemaker? I mean, is that more than friendship? And is it even friendship, you know? So I think that we have all these different characters and we need to see where they're all going, and hopefully we can make that an interesting experience for people to continue to see these characters, whether it's in Peacemaker season two or other shows.
I have a suspicion that you can do it and very well, as you've proven in season one. And I can talk about this forever. I could go for 2-3 hours, but they're waving me down. They're saying it's time to bring this in for a landing. Ooh, so
your HBO Max overlords or some cruel masters. We didn't even talk about the Justice League, you guys.
You're right. We didn't say anything. God.
We didn't even mention it.
Okay,
so we didn't mention it.
Yeah, we got to talk about that.
Should we talk about it? We have to.
I feel like that must have been the hardest ask of the season. Were they like?
It was a real struggle. And now I made the Justice League show up, and they're all together, and they get to they're there to save the day, obviously. But Peacemaker gets his little moment of being the boss, because he obviously has a deep jealousy of legitimate superheroes, because he is, after all, a guy who lives in a trailer park with an eagle and a weapon that's compensating for something awful. Yeah. That's a little bit too big.
Yeah.
All of these things that Peacemaker says about these guys, I want you to know, Aquaman doesn't really fuck fish. Superman doesn't like to get shit on. Green Arrow doesn't have a big butthole in his brony costume. He just has a brony costume. Wonder Woman never IF'd Peacemaker from across the room. She was probably looking at him because he had a stupid helmet on. So all these things are in Peacemaker's brain. We should make that clear for everyone that none of that is canon. Bat-mite is canon.
I just hear the sounds of the keyboards right now updating the wikis. They're like, oh no, we made a mistake. We have to erase all of this.
I'm gonna get a lot of was it Batfleck or Battinson? Which one faced Bat-mite? How did this work? I don't understand. I'm like, I don't know. I just made it up. Somebody else's problem to deal with it. I'm the one who put Bat-mite into the world. Now it's their problem.
All right, now to wrap this guest interview up, we've got some Eagly mail, and it's the final of this season. So we're going to take a fan-submitted question and ask, what made Peacemaker a better candidate for his own show opposed to the other Suicide Squad members?
This is a question he gets asked on Twitter a lot.
I bet. I
think we kind of talked about it a little bit in the first episode. I mean, I think there was just more there to digest with Peacemaker. I had a lot more. I like seeing, assholes find something redeeming in their personalities, so I like that. I like that with whether it's Bloodsport or Rocket Raccoon or Peacemaker, I like finding that's something really beautiful in the ugliness of this planet. And I think that by finding the best in the worst people, I think maybe that helps to be sort of a guide for myself in my own life of doing that with the people around me, But also, listen, for whatever reason, I just felt inspired to do a Peacemaker TV show, I just wanted to do it. And so DC came to me and they said, if you can make a TV show about anybody from the Suicide Squad, who would it be? And it was like Peacemaker. I had already thought about it. So it was just came naturally. And COVID was happening at the time. I had nothing to do. I was trapped at my house. And so I wrote all 8 episodes in 2 months.
What?
And nothing ever changed. That's
amazing.
That's what happened. That was just a year and a half ago or less that I started writing the show. And now it's out in the world. It's an amazing, amazing occurrence for me to be able to create something and then make it so quickly and then have it out in the world so quickly. I'm finishing Guardians 3, which started 4 years ago. So it's been a great journey with a great group of people on both on the HBO Max side, on the DC side, and you guys, which I appreciate you guys doing this podcast for these 8 episodes. I really do. And can't wait to see you guys again on season 2.
Yeah, yeah. Let's do it. Let's
thank
let's
you
do
for
it.
Saying that.
Yeah, yeah.
I do appreciate you guys doing this. Thanks so much for this.
Oh, and of course. Thank you. You are such a pleasure to talk to. Yeah, it's yeah. great knowing more about Peacemaker and everything. So thank you for taking the time out of your day. Yeah, seriously. Yeah,
yeah. Talk to you soon again. Bye.
That was our interview with James Gunn. That was a blast. I could have kept talking.
He is my favorite person right now. He's like, I could talk to him for hours. Yes. What a great guy.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. It was a good time. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if the interview ends, you know what begins. It's time for the Peace Prize.
So part of me is a bit sad because it's the last one.
Yeah, I know. But... We're going out with a bang.
And we got to give it to it. So I think the award for the Peace Prize this week is going to be the Death to Peace Award, which is going to be the attack on the barn. I think that entire fight sequence with them, finally a team together fighting. And then there's the intro music.
Oh, yeah.
It's so good. It was like the fight with the intro music. It was from like going back in a circle. Mm-hmm. We're back here and we're all fighting for one thing.
Yeah.
And even though they did take some L's, even though people were hurt,
And they were
shot at.
Yeah.
They still really succeeded. And they were able to get to become like be a team.
Yeah, they finally were a team in that moment and even had a theme song.
Yeah.
So I think that's a well awarded prize.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more.
I'm gonna mix it up.
What?
Because I wanna give out one more Peace Prize.
Let's see, what is
it? I want to give an eagly hug out to the community for supporting us these past few weeks throughout all the episodes. I'm going to give that eagly hug from us to you. I've been on Twitter. I've been on Facebook seeing all your favorite moments, y'all communicating with us, and I really appreciate it. You know, it's been fun doing this.
Hey, this was great. I love hanging with this guy. This entire Podly podcast was great, and it was great doing it with you. So,
well, it was so fun doing it with you. Hey, what's up? It's Solo Iffy popping in here yet again with a little bonus surprise before we get out of here and close out this season of Podly. Look, we have none other than the comic artist, writer, publisher, and chief creative officer of DC, Jim Lee, and he has a little message for all of y'all.
Thank you so much for watching Peacemaker. Taking a character from the page to the screen can be a challenge, but James Gunn, John Cena, and the entire creative team knocked it out of the park. Having an episodic show gave us the opportunity to introduce new fans to a beloved character and expand the lore by creating a fun and heartfelt arc that balanced the gruesome with the comedy. TV and comics are unique in that they allow the evolution and reinvention of characters to tell great, complex and satisfying stories over the course of multiple episodes or issues. This show was a wonderful chance to see Peacemaker grow in a very funny and sometimes disgusting way with an equally cool cast of characters by his side. This show is about superheroes, but it tells very human stories about family and where we come from, like in Christopher Smith and Leota Adebayo's case, and also who we want to be and where we want to go. So thank you again, and see you soon.
Thank you so much, Jim, and all our guests who's joined us this season for Podly. Let's get back to wrapping things up.
Oh, man. Well, I mean, that was it, guys. This was the season finale of Podly and also of Peacemaker.
Thank you for watching and listening. This has been Podly, the official Peacemaker companion podcast from HBO Max in DC. And look, it doesn't have to stop here. Your DC journey does not have to stop here. All you have to do is go to DC Universe Infinite, sign up, and you can be ahead of the curve by getting caught up on all DC comics and reading along your favorite stuff. You know, there's a certain Caped Crusader who's got a movie coming out soon, so you might want to be catching up on that.
Cool. And hey, if you want some merchandise and some Peacemaker merchandise nonetheless, check out shop.dccomics.com for the latest drops. You're not going to want to miss them.
Yeah. So until the next time you see us, wherever you see us, keep the peace.
Ooh, keep the peace.